Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this installment of Hebrew Treasures. This is a Hebrew word study on the word kadosh, or holy. I heard that word all my life growing up, and I often wondered, what does it really mean to be holy? Because, as I said, I heard it all my life, because I grew up in what people refer to as a holiness church. And so I thought in those days that holiness meant speaking in tongues. It meant not going to the movies or not going to a dance. It meant not wearing jewelry and on and on and on. Well, as I grew older and hopefully matured a little bit more in my faith, I came to realize that those things were my church's particular interpretation of what holiness was, not necessarily a biblical definition of holiness. Now, that is not to say that if someone holds to those convictions personally, that there's anything wrong with that. It's just to say that it's important for you and I to look at Scripture and get the Creator's definition of holiness and what it means to be a holy people. And so to do that, we're going to look at the word for holy, kadosh, kuf, dalet, vav, shin. Now, the first time this word kadosh or holy appears in Scripture, it's in Exodus chapter 3, specifically when Moses sees the bush burning but not being consumed. And so when he turns aside to get closer, then God speaks to him and says, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." So now, why was this ground considered to be holy? Did God create it holy because he knew he was going to use it later? I don't think so. I don't think that the ground was holy any more than another piece of ground was holy. Here's what made it holy, because the presence of the Holy One was there. It's similar to when later on, when Moses brings the children of Israel out of Egypt back to this same mountain, when God came down on top of the mountain, the people were warned not to approach the mountain, not to touch it, lest they die. Why? Because the presence of the Holy One was there, and they were contaminated. They had Egypt all over them, and they didn't need to touch that lest they die. However, later on, when his presence was removed from the mountain, then they could go near it. Then they could touch it. Why? Because it was just a mountain. The presence of the Holy One was no longer there. So again, what I'm getting at here is we understand and we believe that the ground upon which Moses was then walking was holy ground because of the presence of the Holy One. Without his presence, it would have been just another patch of dirt. Without his presence, that bush would have been just another bush. So then we understand that kadosh, holy, holiness, is something that originates with the Creator. It's part of him. It is him. It is something or an attribute that is exclusive to him. And therefore, it's something that emanates from him to you and to me. Holiness is not something that you and I can conjure up. It's not something that we can put on. It's not something that we can invoke because we speak a certain language or say certain Hebrew words. No, holiness is something we strive to conform to. It's something we strive to emulate because, again, holiness or kadosh is something that originates with the Creator, and it's something that emanates from the Creator. But the word kadosh is used to denote someone who is considered to be a saint or someone who is a holy one, someone who is considered to be sacred or pure. Interestingly, it's also the word used for martyr. Now, I would suggest that a martyr is someone that, well, going beyond someone who dies a physical death on behalf of their beliefs. More importantly, I believe, a martyr is someone who had already died to themselves. Because how would they be willing to lay down their lives physically had they not already been willing to lay down their lives in a spiritual sense? In other words, no one is born pure. No one is born sacred. In fact, we are all conceived in iniquity, so says the psalmist. But a kadosh, or a holy one, or a sacred one, or a martyr for that matter, is someone who made a decision to die to themselves and be conformed to the image of the Holy One. someone who decided and committed themselves to being stripped of their flesh, that is, those earthly and carnal desires that we all have, and someone who shed those things in order to follow the path that the Creator had set before them. That is what makes us a holy one. That is what determines one's sanctity and saintly attributes, if you will. Now, Dr. Frank Seekins makes a very interesting observation, as far as I'm concerned, about the word kadosh when looking at it pictographically or looking at the Paleo-Hebrew, because those things are pictures. And so he defines the word kadosh as being what follows the threshing, meaning what you have left after the chaff has been threshed from the wheat. Because at that point, all you have is the desired fruit, which, by the way, was what was on the inside. The chaff was those things that pertain to the external, those things that are fleshly, those things that have to be stripped off if you're going to get to the fruit. That's an interesting observation indeed, and especially when you consider that the temple in Jerusalem, the place where the Creator's presence would reside amongst His people, was actually built on a threshing floor, which then brings us to this. Kadosh is also used to define those things that are distinguished for sacred purposes. You know, every Erev Shabbat, the tradition is in Jewish homes, and we partake of this custom ourselves, is as we begin Shabbat, we will lift up a cup of wine or grape juice, and we will sanctify this special time, this Shabbat or this Yom Tov, this holy day. Not that the wine is holy or not that the grape juice is holy or, in fact, not what we're going to eat necessarily is considered to be holy, but we realize that it's a holy time. And so we do something to distinguish this time from the rest of the other week. And so we call that Kiddush. So there are things that are set aside in service to the Creator. And more biblically significant are those things that were used in the worship of the Holy One, those things that He said, if they're used properly, would be holy, like the priestly garments, the different furnishings of the tabernacle, the different utensils that were used in the service of the tabernacle. Because in any other setting, in any other tent, in any other camp, they would have just been garments. The furniture would have just been a collection of wood and gold and other metals. The utensils used would have just been censers and forks. They wouldn't have been considered sacred. The only thing that makes them holy is because they were dedicated to the service of the Holy One. That's why they were consecrated. That's why they were considered to be kadosh. Which now brings us to the root word for kadosh, kadash, spelled kuf dalet shin, which, as many of you already know, means to be separate or to be set apart. The etymology of the word gives us a little broader, a little more expanded view of what this word is trying to get across to us, because it actually carries the concept of preparing for a task. And in preparation for that task, you have to be willing to devote all of your resources to attaining and fulfilling that specific task. And in my view, this idea being connected to the word kadosh or holy is significant, and here's why. Because the Creator told us this in Leviticus chapter 11. For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Let's put it this way. It's as if He's saying to His people, because you are in this relationship with Me, the one and only God who is holy, you need to shed your desires and your wants, your will, your standards, everything you want and everything you think is proper, and you need to embrace what I say is right, what I say is just, what I say is holy. And you need to dedicate all of your resources to fulfilling the tasks that I've set before you to be a set-apart people. You need to consecrate yourselves to this mission. Because as His people, as you know, we are called to be a goy kadosh, a holy or a set-apart nation. And being called to be set apart or kadosh is not to say that we are to be isolated from the world, perhaps insulated from the world, and we insulate ourselves from the contaminants that are inherent in the world by following what the Creator says is right and what is true and what is holy. And why? Not just so that we can be rewarded and be blessed, but that we can be a source of blessing to the rest of the world, that we might be a light to the world. And so just as Kadosh originates with the Creator, it emanates from the Creator. And if we strive to emulate His attributes, then that which is within us, or let me rephrase that, that part of Him that is within us can then emanate from us to others, so that others might be able to distinguish the difference between what is holy and what is profane. One of the ways that this concept is demonstrated for us is revealed to us the first time we see the root word kadosh in Scripture. And it's found in Genesis chapter 2, which says, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." That is, vayikadesh. He sanctified it, or He set it apart, because in it He rested from all of His work which God had created and made. And so then we shouldn't be surprised to see that later on, speaking of Shabbat, He says that it is to be holy. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it kadosh," or holy. Now, as you know, or as you should know, Shabbat is one of those signs that the Creator establishes between He and between His people. And one of the reasons that I believe this is a sign is because it's set apart, it's holy. And so what it does is it signifies His holiness to others besides those who are considered to be His people. Because when we do these things that He say are holy, and when we keep them holy, not only is it a sign between us and Him, but it is a sign to others of the fact that He is the one and only, the holy God. Now, these signs, like the Shabbat, it's important in light of the fact that, well, it's going to be important to bear the sign between He and me when He goes to uproot and pluck up all of the tares that are growing in His field. In other words, one of these signs that He gives us is what He's going to be looking for when He goes to do that. And so when He goes to bring all the tares out of His field, to bind them in bundles, to burn them, it's going to be really important to be wheat. But even then, being the wheat, we still have to look forward to the threshing that's going to occur, because all that unfruitful external chaff, the flesh, the carnality, my will, all of that has to be broken off so that the wheat, the fruit, the desired fruit can be obtained, that it can be manifest. So to be holy, to be kadosh, to be set apart, it's not determined exclusively by how one dresses or the language one speaks or what we eat and what we don't eat, not exclusively. Because those things are external manifestations of something that should be going on internally. In other words, just like the tabernacle was considered holy when the Holy One was there, so too this temple, this body, this person, you, me, us all, we're holy if the presence of the Holy One is in our midst, if He's within us. Because without His presence, we're just like that ground that Moses was standing on and that bush that was growing from that ground, with the exception that His presence wasn't there. Without His presence, we're just a piece of ground. But when His presence is within us, then it provokes something to happen. It provokes us to walk according to what He says is right, what He says is just, what He says is true. And so again, we're not holy because of outward, external appearances and all these trappings, not exclusively. But when His presence is within us, it prompts us to do what is right, to do what is true, and to do what is holy. So the word kadosh, the definition that's given us by Dr. Seekins, that which is left after the threshing. It's very apropos, I believe, because really, it's all about us dying to ourselves. The reason we are born again is to learn how to die to ourselves. And we are to commit all of our resources to this task so that the Holy One may refer to us as Kadosh. Thanks for joining me today. I hope this has been informative. I hope it's been a blessing. We'll see you next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.